FIG Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia
and Justine Combo,
as we break open the upcoming Sunday Gospels and discuss relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter, more reflective explanation of the Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influencers, Father Rob Gallia Homilies. Episode 2, welcome back to the Catholic Influencers Podcast. My name's Alyssa and this is...
Father Rob Gallia.
Yeah, you guys know us by now, but if you're new, welcome. It is so good to be back. I must admit, I did miss not studying, like going to Mass.
Yeah, me too. And I know it affected my homilies as well. I know. It's amazing that studying, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work, but it's worth it. It's just, it gives such joy, even when I'm preparing for my homilies. I go back to the podcast because it's usually a week later. And I just think, that's a good point. That's a good point. Good point I made. A good point Alyssa made.
And we have to also note how amazing Justine was in her very first episode.
Yeah, good.
I was laughing a lot. Like, I was studying for this podcast, listening to last week's episode, laughing. I actually woke my husband up because I was doing it very early in the morning. Like, it was...
It was LOL, laugh out loud, yeah. Funny, yeah. But what you didn't see as well is how nervous she was, but it didn't show.
And not at all.
It's good. We're blessed to have Justine with us. She's a public speaker, a musician, and we're excited. Anyway, there's a lot a lot of opportunities that come up. We seem to have musicians always on this podcast, so we should incorporate some kind. And the guitar, yeah. So maybe we'll have a new guitar posted soon. I'll try and find space for another one.
We should. Yeah, we'll incorporate music sometime.
Yeah, well, give us your suggestions on how we can or we should do this. We'll try and do it. So today we're going to talk about signs and I don't know, do you ever wish that we had more signs, like that God would confirm more things in our lives?
Definitely. I think when I was first coming to my faith, I would hear all these testimonies about people who had these big, like, for real signs that it was God. And like, I never got that. And I always thought there was something wrong with me. But yeah, I think I've learned to see God in little things.
Yeah. And so me too. Like, I always want signs. I want confirmation. And even sometimes we take negative things as being a sign in the opposite way. Anyway, we'll talk about all of this, but let's delve deep into the scriptures this Sunday, the 18th Sunday in ordinary time, a time where Jesus talks to his disciples about signs, and the Jews approach Jesus and ask him for a sign.
So this week's gospel reading is from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty."
I just think how culturally different people were then than they are now. I suppose if you 20, 50 years ago, it would make more sense. People would just hang around and watch each other. They would just be in each other's business. Now, we live in a world now where we're hidden, where we hide behind computer screens, where we hide behind our social media. where we're more comfortable being sort of asking questions and interacting with people behind the screen. But how much it was like, these guys didn't have a 9-to-5 job, obviously, because they just kept following Jesus. They kept following Jesus and they kept asking him questions. And they didn't, also they didn't have boundaries. They just kept asking him, like, Jesus, when did you arrive? Where did you come from? How did you go? And Jesus doesn't even address any of these questions, because sometimes we get lost in the trivial things, the trivial questions. We get lost when we don't actually understand what Jesus is doing, is working in our lives. And I see this in my ministry. But anyway, before I start preaching and going on, Alyssa, you tell us your thoughts, your initial thoughts on this scripture.
I think my initial thoughts were, is our desire truly for Jesus himself, or what we can gain from him? So I think these crowds of people, they were drawn by his healing miracles. You know, they were drawn by what happened in last week's gospel, the feeding with the loaves and the fish, the pickled fish. But I think they were drawn to that because, you know, they got a free feed, you know?
Yes.
Were they interested in Jesus because of the signs he was performing, or were they interested in Jesus because Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes. And so they had, like, the feeding of the 5,000. They were excited. They were minding their own business. All of a sudden, they were fed this lavish, this abundant, let's say, not say lavish, but this abundant meal. And so they said, hey, hold on, we want more. Don't just leave now. We want more. Like, if there's this blessing, surely there's a bigger blessing and a bigger blessing. And so they follow Jesus and they pursue him. Jesus just looks at them and says, hey, guys, hold on, slow down. You're missing the point here. Stop looking at my hand. I'm not here to show you my hand, but I'm here for you to fall in love with my heart. I want you to understand the heart behind the hand. Because you see, sometimes we get lost. We get lost in the provision of God. We get lost in what God has to give us. And the thing is, God has never promised to provide for our every whim and our every want. There will be times we will suffer. There will be times we will be hungry. There will be times our prayers are not answered. But the question is, and are we seeking the heart of God, or are we seeking the hand of God? And we know this. We know what we're seeking, I think, by answering this question. If Jesus, here's the question. If Jesus were never, from now on, never to answer your prayers, every request, prayer for your children, prayer for your family, prayer for health, if Jesus were not to answer your prayers, would you still believe in him? Would you still follow him? Or is your following Jesus and belief in Jesus conditional to what his hand provides? Now, I'm not saying that God won't provide, because God provides, because he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He provides, yes. But is our love for him, our following of him, our pursuit of him conditional to what his hand brings us? Or is it just simply because I love him, because I want to hear his heart beat, and that's enough satisfaction for me?
Tough question. I'm getting to think about this week. I think a couple of years ago, I did think about that. Like, if I was in a different situation, I didn't have what I had and I couldn't see God's blessings, you know, would I still believe?
Look, it's hard. I don't know that I would be able to answer that, because I depend on God's provision as well. You know, even in my ministry, in working, I pray a lot for God to open doors. I pray a lot and God wants to answer these prayers, but at the same time, I'd question where God is, if God wasn't answering our prayers. But this is what he's saying at the end. What is your focus? You say, yes, I will provide barley, I will provide pickled fish, I will provide for your needs, but don't seek that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be gathered unto you. This is a scriptural verse. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the heart of God. Seek to make Jesus Lord of your life, and then everything else will fall into place. Not the other way around.
That's right. And we can see in this gospel, Jesus was challenging the crowd. He was saying, don't look for food that's going to perish, but but seek the food that's going to endure for eternity, for eternal life. So I guess we can even compare this to a couple of chapters back in John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he's saying, you know, this water is going to make you thirsty again, but I'm going to provide, I've got the verse here actually, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I think the people were asking, what can we do to accomplish this, accomplish these works of God? And I think they were kind of talking in a context of like doing all these pious acts that were in the Torah. But yes, Jesus is saying, no, this, it starts with just believing in the one whom God sent. And that's Jesus himself, who will give us that bread that's never, that Jesus is going to give us himself, which is the bread of life, and that the living water as well.
Yes. And again, this is what it is. It's about relationship. Again, if you're not in love with Jesus, if you're not sold out for Jesus, if you're not, it's not what God does for you. Your husband, your wife, you're not married to them for what they give to you. You're married to them. You love them. You stay with them because you love them. You love who they are. And it doesn't mean you love everything, but you love who they are. And so that is what is going to keep you there. And this is what Jesus wants of us. You see, because he is our provider. And this is the same with fathers as well, you know, from their children. Daddy, give me pocket money. Daddy, provide for this. And then daddy works. And we end up, even in my own life, seeing the father as the provider. And when the father doesn't provide or doesn't, then we stop loving because we started looking at the hand. And it's the same with relationships. When, I don't know, a situation, for example, again, marriage, someone's married and they love this person, then the wife starts to put on weight and then they this. And really, they start to question whether they love that person anymore. And then I started the reasoning I say to them is that, well, hold on, did you marry this person for what they give to you? Because they look nice in your hand, because they look nice in a dress, or because they, or did you marry this person because you love them? And this is again where Jesus in the book of Revelation says, this is one thing I hold against you, and that is that you have forgotten your first love. So fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with him. And you see, and this is again so often that people look at the instruments, and I don't know, I just see this in my ministry as well. You know, so many people look at, you see, I'm a musician, you're a musician, and I go out and I preach, and yes, I communicate, and I try to communicate charismatically, and I speak to young people and whatever. But sometimes people get lost in the instrument. They get lost in the delivery. They get lost in the message. And they forget that it's about Jesus. And I'm comfortable in saying this because Jesus himself, you see, he was charismatic. People wanted to be around him. He provided miracles. He had gifts. And people were more interested in his gifts than they were in him. They were more interested in receiving their healing than they were him. And this hasn't changed. It hasn't changed in the church and in the instruments, the people who deliver this message of Jesus today.
Yeah, one example I saw of, I think I was at a conference, and I'm a huge Matt Maher fan. If you're listening, Matt, I love you. No, no, but I saw him at a concert once, and I think, yeah, it is easy for the crowd to get caught up in the instrument, but Matt had sung an entire night, everyone was on fire, and then he led everybody into starting "Here I Am, Lord," and he started it, and then everyone was closing their eyes and praying, and he'd actually walked off the stage. So by the time everyone had finished, everyone was focused on God and not on him. Yes. And I just thought that was such a beautiful.
Yeah. And we've done, but, and then he goes out into the hallway and people.
And it's crazy time.
It's crazy. Yeah. So, but this is the reality of ministry. This is the reality. Some people are going to look at the instrument, but, and then we have to keep even in prayer. And this is why we need, for those of you who are in ministry, this is why we need humility. Our purpose is to use signs, to use gifts, to be charismatic, to use music. But at the end of the day, people will look to us, will look to the instrument, but it is in your heart. You know, say thank you, take the selfies, but at the end of the day, give glory to Jesus with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Because you see, this is one thing that it's. I think it's Psalm 51. It says, not to us, but to your name be all the glory. And also God very often says in the scripture that he does not share. He's a jealous God. He will not share his glory with anyone. So always, again, if this comes, the attention comes, keep pointing back to Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm probably deviating here.
A little bit, but I will bring it back. So Jesus had said, you know, he was the Messiah. And the people, the crowd were like, you need to prove it. You know, in the Old Testament, yeah. Moses proved it because the manna came down from heaven. But what are you going to do, Jesus?
Yeah, so they try to sort of, you are saying, basically, they're saying that you're saying, Jesus, that you're bigger, you're better than Moses. If you are saying that you're the Messiah and Moses was just a prophet, then prove it. So show us a sign. Don't just put your money where your mouth is. And how there were different ways in which they were looking for a particular sign, though.
Yes. They were looking for, there was something about a jar, which you you know a lot about, so I'm going to let you talk about that.
Well, they were looking, look, the way, according to Jewish tradition, the way that the Messiah would prove themselves is by bringing manna. Also, like Moses brought manna, the new Messiah, the new Moses, or whatever, the greater Moses, will also bring manna. And now, tradition, not scripture, but tradition taught, you know, in the when manna came down, there was some manna kept, okay? They put some in a pot, and they put it this pot in the first temple before it fell the first time, okay? And they put it in there, but what happened, the temple was destroyed, and Jeremiah runs into this temple, and he grabs this pot with the manna, and he hides it. Now, the idea was that the Messiah would come with this pot and show, hey, look, I'm the Messiah. And to prove it, here's the pot with manna, okay? Like the leprechaun, okay? With the gold. So here's the pot. And so Jesus gets sort of, they're telling him, say, produce this pot. Show us this pot. And when Jesus then starts to say, hey, hold on one moment. First of all,
well, it wasn't Moses who provided the manna. It was God who provided the manna. And God provided in the Old Testament, and God's going to provide again now. And he does that through Jesus himself. And this is when Jesus starts to begin his bread of life discourse, where he says that he himself is the bread of life. He is the manna from heaven. So like in the Old Testament, that manna from heaven, it was God's way of providing for his people. But that manna was kind of incomplete. Like
It was just a symbol of the bread of life. But let's go back to the one. She says, first of all, it's God. It's not Moses. Again, like you're doing to me, you're putting the instrument before the actual heart of God. You're putting the hand of God, Moses, before the heart of God, which is the sign giver. But two, as well, manna was not really bread from God. It was only a symbol. The bread from God is Jesus. Jesus, like you said, came down from heaven. He is the manna.
And there's such a connection there, because the manna came down from heaven and so did Jesus. Yes. And so it's like Jesus is the fulfillment.
Yes, exactly. Yep. He is the bread of life. And again, this is a foreshadow as well of the Eucharist with us again today, that Jesus is the bread of life, the bread from heaven. And this is not a symbol. He is not the symbolic bread. They were asking him for a pot, to show a pot, but actually the pot was right in front of them. You know what I mean? The bread of life was right in front of them. They're crossing their arms saying, show us the pot. And Jesus is thinking like, hello, I am the pot.
Yes.
I am the bread of life. Why can't you see this? Stop. Sort of, you're so distracted by the instrument of things that you've actually missed
the point. How many times can we have, you know, signs in front of us and we just completely miss the point?
Yes, because we're looking for a sign rather than the sign.
That's right.
You see, so the bread from God was he who came down from heaven. And he was saying, basically, hey, this barley bread and these fish and this water from the well, these will satisfy you for a while, but they're only Jesus, only the bread of life, only the manna manifest, only Jesus is going to satisfy and satisfy for all eternity. So stop looking at these signs, stop looking at my hand, and now focus on my heart.
That's a really great way to close off the gospel. Fantastic.
There we go.
And so we might hear a little bit from our sponsors, from our Encounter
FIG Ministry presents our new online course subscription package. As a member, you will receive digital on-demand access to FRG Ministries' growing library of online courses. FRG Ministry online courses cover teaching, devotional, and practical elements of the Catholic faith to help individuals, teachers, students, and parishes across the world grow in their faith and understanding of the Catholic Church and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Current titles include Knowing Mary, School of Prayer, Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, Introduction to the Bible, and more, with new courses being added regularly. All courses include high-definition videos with expert and engaging speakers, testimonies from everyday Catholics, and downloadable content including interactive PDF guides, prayer cards, and phone wallpapers. Online courses from FRG Ministry are also accredited for professional development for Catholic education staff in Australia. For more information about enrolment and subscription options, head to courses.frgministry.com/subscriptions.
All right. This is my first mystery box. I did walk around a $2 store mindlessly, you know, really a bit of a creepy way today to try and find this. But yeah.
And it's not the camera for those of you who watched
it.
It's inside this box. This is the only box we could find.
You have to keep this box, Father Rob, because I think it's going to be worth something one day.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so the mystery boxes that, let's explain this again. I have to guess what this is.
Yes. Okay. I found the most random thing that I could find.
In a dollar store.
Yes.
And I have to guess what this is. Last time I guessed.
You got it right. I don't know if you're going to get this one right. Be careful. Okay. It's dangerous.
Okay. Is it breakable?
It's not breakable, but it's dangerous. Just be careful.
It's dangerous. Okay. Okay. Here
Would
we
be
go.
Dangerous.
I'm opening the box now, the camera box, and inside, oh, this looks like they're scissors.
Yeah, but they're,
serrated.
For a particular purpose.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is strange. Do you know what they are?
I do. And I've had clarification.
I think it's something got to do with hair or eyebrows or eyelashes.
Yeah, it's hairdressing scissors. And I actually went to my hairdresser before I came here. Shout out to you, Alana, who also does Justine's hair. So she's basically the resident Catholic Influencers podcast hairdresser. I said, they were $2.
Oh, okay.
Australian. I said, what are these? And apparently,
what are those?
They are to thin out hair. But
okay.
But also, if you use them, they can like literally cut out chunks. So it could go very, very wrong.
So
don't use them.
Anyway, this is for those of you who are seeing on YouTube. You can see it there. At the end of this season, the winner will win all our all this junk.
You can have a really great haircut.
But this is interesting because scissors, like $2. Like I was talking to my hairdresser, and he says like his scissors cost like $2,000.
That's the exact conversation that I had with Alana today.
Yeah.
And yeah, she has scissors just like that, but they cost her $500. Like her real scissors are like $2,000, but those type of $500. And so imagine the haircut you would get with $2 hairdressing scissors.
Yes. It doesn't even cut the box.
Yeah, I just thought it was very random.
There you go. So the hairdressing scissors also in the mystery box
along
by the end of the season.
The denture cleaning kit.
And we'll keep going. Let's hear from the Saint Mia picture.
Okay, so this week's saint is Saint Alphonsus Liguori. He was born in Naples in 1696. He actually composed an Italian Christmas carol called Tu scendi dalle stelle.
Sing it.
Tu scendi dalle stelle. Da, 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 da. I don't know the rest of the words. And I'd sung this song for years, and I was mind blown when I found out that it was him.
In Italy when I was younger, yeah. Not that I'm from Italy, but when I used to visit.
Yeah. Pretty cool song. He's also got a doctorate in civil and canon law before he became a priest. He worked in the legal profession. I think in his first couple of years after his ordination, he spent a lot of time with the homeless and marginalized. What else? He's probably most known for his writings on spirituality and theology. He's one of the most widely read authors. And I think he's also a doctor of the church, and his greatest contribution to the church was his work on moral theology.
He's a philosopher, but he's a doctor. To say that someone's a doctor of the church is meaning that they have made a significant contribution to theology or doctrine through their writings. In other words, do what they say. And he came up with a lot of moral theology. And one of them, for example, that really struck me is a thing called equi probabilism, which is complicated. But what you see, we need to discern God's will. We're living in a world, for example, where it is so difficult. Even the laws, we're not sure if they're morally right or wrong. Should we obey unjust law? Should we obey laws, even in the church, that sometimes... I'm not saying we shouldn't obey the church laws. We should always obey church laws. But sometimes local laws, for example, I don't want to give examples, but there are some local bishop conference laws that are not they can be questionable. How do we discern whether to obey them or not, especially if they don't contradict scripture and if they're not as part of the teachings of the church? And so he gives a series of look it up, Google it, equiprobabilism.
You said it right twice.
Yes. it's a mean of discernment. It's a bit complicated, but I love how practical he is in ways in which we can discern the will of God, especially when it comes to laws, civil laws and church laws.
Yeah, and I think maybe before we close this off, I just want to share a nice quote I heard from a homily that I went to look up today. Because I thought it was such a good one. It says, "Know also that you will probably gain more by praying 15 minutes before the Blessed Sacrament than by all other spiritual exercises of the day." And another one of his thoughts, which I think is really important to share, is what distinguishes the sinner from the saint is not whether each suffers, but how each suffers. So the stubborn sinner will refuse the cross, but the saint accepts the cross.
Oh, that's so powerful. Cool. And I see that so often with the anointing of the sick. Okay, so again, let's go to our sponsors, our ministry partners.
The production of this podcast would not be possible without the support of our donors and ministry partners. If you've been blessed by this podcast, please consider supporting this ministry financially by making a one-off donation or becoming an FRG ministry partner from just $5 per month. As well as enabling FRG ministry to impact hearts across the world through the creation of online resources and outreach programs. As an FRG ministry partner, you will have access to our rewards program, where you can receive exclusive benefits and content to help you continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus. For more information about becoming an FRG ministry partner, head to frgministry.com/donate.
Show me a sign. So my husband plays in an Eagles tribute band and he's been practicing while I've been studying away, and he's singing the song Take It to the Limit, and in the chorus it says, "Show me a sign." And I thought that was a nice sign from God that this podcast is meant to happen on the day we're recording. Can we? So the topic is, should Christians rely on signs from God?
Yes, and I think there's a lot of, I don't know. Look, I don't know. Should we want signs? We really want signs. But I think there are two things to consider. The first thing is, are you looking for a sign to prove God or to prove something in your life? Or are you looking for a sign to affirm, or not even looking for a sign, or are signs there in your life to affirm what you are already committed to do? So signs shouldn't determine whether we do something, whether we follow Jesus or not, but they should be there as an affirmation. So this is, first of all, to acknowledge that God does give us signs.
Definitely.
All the time. But very often we miss them because we're looking for particular signs.
Yeah, when you were talking about affirmation, I just can't help but think of this story. A couple of years ago, I was going on a family holiday with my parents and extended family, and my faith was kind of still a bit of a secret at this point. And we were going to be away for a Sunday. And in my head, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go to Mass. How am I going to do this? Like, when we go family holidays, we're normally always together. I thought, I'm going to have to tell them, or I just have to go. Like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And the next morning, the gospel was something like, if you deny me in front of what's that verse? It was something. It was
not
that
worthy of the kingdom. Of
yeah,
God,
and I was like, okay, gosh, you want me to go? So
yeah, that's right.
I was literally sitting by the pool. I was in Bali, beautiful place, which I can't wait to go back to
Indonesia,
when we can travel.
Isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And I went through this mental battle in my head: do I just do it? Do I not go? What do I do? And I just literally got up and I disappeared. And I got in trouble for not telling anyone where I went. But, that was a sign that affirmed that, yes, I have to go to Mass.
Exactly. And God gives us these signs and affirmations. And again, they affirm the word of God. But signs shouldn't be points whether we believe in God or whether we do things for God or not. For example, God, let my son get healed and then I will follow you.
Yeah.
You see, it's not actually a sign we're looking for. We're bargaining with God. And God doesn't want us to bargain. When these people are saying, okay, show us a sign, show us that you're the Messiah, prove that you exist. Jesus said sort of, he was not happy with that. This was not what he wanted signs to be about. But also, I want to say, there's a difference between signs and miracles, okay? Miracles are part of what God does to bring the kingdom of God, to bring heaven on earth. He works miracles. That's what he does. He heals people. He does these things. But miracles can be signs of the kingdom of God, but not necessarily so. Okay, so miracles can draw us closer to the heart of God, but it also could be part of the extravagance of God, that it could move our faith, it affirms our faith, but not necessarily gives us faith. And so there's a difference between a miracle and a sign. But anyway.
Yeah, and I think another point to notice as well is that there's signs all throughout Scripture and still people didn't get it.
Yes.
We saw that today with the crowd. And even if you look in the Old Testament, like with all the 10 plagues in the book of Exodus, like Pharaoh still couldn't see, you know, God was powerful.
Yes. And that scripture of Lazarus in hell, you remember? And he says, please just send a sign to my brother, to my family, so that they may believe. And Jesus says, I've sent them all the prophets. I've sent them people, but they still didn't believe. If I'm sending them a sign, they're not going to believe. So signs are not there to make us believe or not believe, but again, God sends these signs, especially if our eyes are open, to affirm our faith. Just on a side note, one of the things that God affirms us also is through Scripture. But God's not going to give you a sign through Scripture if you don't read the Scriptures.
Yeah,
God's not going to give you an affirmation, a sign. And the great signs that God gives is that sense of peace, that consolation that God gives us. If you're not praying every day, if you're not meditating every day, you're going to miss that sign.
Yep.
If you're not listening, all you're listening to is the negativity and you're not spending time with the people of God, who are also a sign of God's presence in our lives, then again, you're going to miss the sign of God.
Yeah, and I think signs versus faith. I was thinking about this today. Faith in God is probably more pleasing to God than us constantly relying on a sign. There's a verse in Scripture. It's John chapter 20, 29. It says, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I think faith without signs is sometimes more powerful, isn't it?
Absolutely, because it's a trusting in the heart of God. And a greatest sign that we can have, see, someone who's in love with Jesus, who spends time like St. John, listening to the heartbeat of Jesus, doesn't need a sign. Doesn't need a sign. St. Peter needed a sign when he denied Jesus. And eventually Jesus showed him a sign by appearing to him. St. John didn't. He just was there at the cross, silently, quiet. He was just solid as a rock because he was looking at the heart of Jesus, not at the hand of Jesus. And he was young and he was just in love. And this is why we're called to be in love with Jesus. Signs come, they go, but they shouldn't determine whether we believe or how strong we are in our faith.
Yeah. So I guess this week we just encourage you to search more for the heart of God, rather than the hand of God.
Yes, yeah. Spend time with him. And try this in your prayer this week. Just stop and just listen. Place your head on the heart of Jesus. Imagine yourself and just listen to his heart and just tell Jesus that you love him. And that sometimes we don't need more. We don't need to spend our whole time in prayer asking for answered prayers, but just simply spend time with him. Be generous with God and God will outdo you in generosity.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a good episode. So again, we just encourage you to follow us on social media. We've had a little bit of a facelift and we hope you're enjoying that at the moment. So you can find us on Instagram at @CatholicInfluences_, on Facebook.com/CatholicInfluences,
at
Twitter.
@CatInfluences, at @CatInfluences. Is
that's
right?
That's right, on Twitter. Yes. Twitter. You can also send us an email, podcast@FRGministry.com. We have a podcast website. frgministry.com/podcast. Don't forget to check out our sister podcast, Brother Rob's Homilies, which now will start to get better because Justine and I are back.
I'm more inspired and more depth. But again, leave a review on if you listen to music to this podcast on Apple. We'd love your reviews on Spotify. It puts us up on the algorithm. Share this with your friends. We'd love to hear your comments. Send us an email at podcast@frgministry.com or snail mail, PO Box 96, Strathdale, Victoria 3550. Again, thank you for the donors. Thank you for the benefactors that support this ministry. Go to frgministry.com/donate. We'll see you again next week. God bless you. Hasta luego.
God bless. Bye. Ciao.